big hair, popped collars, members only jackets, and probably cocaine. That sounds like an epic New Year's Eve party in the 1980s to me, or a weeknight at Tony Montana's house. Either way, it's gonna be like Dick Clark's Rockin' Eve on this all new year end episode. Hello and welcome to Totally 80s and 90s Recall. This is a podcast where we take a look at everything the memorable decades of the 1980s and 90s had to offer, from music and movies to television and pop culture. If you're new to the show, we are so excited that you found us, and we promise you're going to have an awesome time. And for our returning listeners and subscribers, it's great to have you back. I am one of your hosts, David, joined as always by someone who's still worried about Y2K. It's my good friend, Rob.
That was a scary time.
The planes were going to fall out of the sky.
Know, right?
Oh, that's right.
So it's another Christmas has passed.
Yes.
Another year is getting ready to wrap up. Mm-hmm. So it's a time for people to mend relationships and maybe start over.
Okay.
So today's show goes out to any of our listeners that we may have wronged, turned away, or possibly offended. If we have said anything that has pushed you away, on behalf of Dave and I, I'd like to say, if we could turn back time, if we could find a way, we'd take back those words that may have hurt you, maybe then you'd stay. Dave and I don't often know why we do the things we do, and we oftentimes don't know why we say the things we say. Here are a few things we do know, though. Pride is like a knife, and it can cut deep inside, Dave. We know that we can be blind occasionally. Kind of look like you might be blind over there today.
I'm cool today. Okay. That's all it is.
Words are like weapons. They wound sometimes, Dave. When you stop listening, when you people out there stop listening, our worlds are shattered and we are torn apart. It's as if someone took a knife and drove it deep into our hearts. What we're really trying to say and what we really want you to know is we didn't really mean to hurt you. We didn't want to see you go. And if we could reach the stars, we'd give them all to you. In the end, Dave and I want you to know that we are not afraid to admit that we are too strong to tell you that we are sorry. And sometimes we can be too proud to tell you we were wrong.
I love that opening. That's a great way to close out the year. I can hear it in my mind. That's great. That's ringing in my ears right now. Well, this is our final episode of 2023 in the first year of this kick-ass podcast. It's been quite a ride so far, and we can't wait to bring you more news and news. We don't do the news.
We could.
We're going to bring you new and exciting episodes in 2024. I thought it'd be a good idea to wear my 80s cool sunglasses today.
And you can't see shit.
I can't see my laptop whatsoever. But can you believe we've made it to the end of a year full of our podcast?
That is weird.
That's not the word I was thinking of, but yeah.
And I mean, it's just odd to think we have a body of work.
A body of work.
That we spent a year putting together.
And we did. There's a lot of it.
It went by fast. I can still remember when you asked me to do it. So
yeah. It's quite an exciting event. Well, but before we jump into the new year, Rob, and our new exciting episodes that I said, not our news exciting episode, our new, since I can't speak today.
That's okay.
Or see, as it turns out. Yeah. What are we doing for this episode, since that's probably why everybody's here?
Yeah. So we are putting together a playlist, New Year's Eve party.
Yes.
Playlist, specifically 80s focused.
80s. Yeah. So with New Year's coming up in a few days, like 5 days, I think, Rob and I could think of nothing better than to create the ultimate 80s party playlist for your upcoming events. Mm-hmm. Whether you blast these tunes at your own party, somehow get to DJ at someone else's party. That sounds like a lot of fun, by the way. in fact, Connor had a dance recently. Mm-hmm. He had his homecoming dance. And I said, if they turn me loose, I would just shut that thing down.
Yeah.
Now, I know you're the master of cakewalks, but I think I could do the dance really, really well. Yeah. So, or maybe you just want to request some great songs at a bar or club. We're here to hook you up with one epic 80s mix.
Yeah.
So, Rob, what criteria did you use to choose songs for this highly anticipated party playlist?
Well, this is for those of you out there that have joined us for the year, that have been along for the ride for the year, this is not going to be a... a shocking statement that I'm about to make. So my list is probably going to differ from yours.
Oh, okay.
Quite a bit stylistically.
All right.
But I tried to stay true to your assignment. So I tried to think if this was a party.
Yeah. You're trying to appease the masses.
Right. Rob. Yes. And I was thinking what kind of music would create an atmosphere, you know, and not necessarily that I'm DJing it, but I'm there, I'm enjoying it. Mm-hmm. So there's some songs on my list that are more backgroundish songs. There are some that are a little more hyped up. There's, you know, I don't have any particular order, but, so I kind of tried to think of what would I enjoy listening to at a party or as I'm talking to people and we're reminiscing and and then this song's playing in the background and we might go, oh, good song.
Well, that's the way I put mine together. I've got several kinds of genres. I'm pretty proud of mixing and matching some of the 80s sounds. And if you want to dance to it, you're like, ooh, that's a good song to dance to. Mm-hmm. If you want to drink punch, have some pie, you can do that. Mm-hmm. It gives you lots of options.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You don't have to bust a move if you don't want to, but you can.
Yeah.
I promise you can.
Yeah.
So you said, you know, our lists will differ.
Yeah.
So we have not done anything in a while where we're just choosing randomly.
Mm.
We usually give ourselves some rules and then we don't have any crossovers. But do you think we'll have any of the same songs today? Because we literally could choose from the entire decade of the 80s. 10 songs.
I'm going to say we aren't going to have any.
Okay. That's your guess.
I'm going to go on a, I'm going to say we're not going to have any crossover.
Okay.
Because most of the songs I picked, you might have, but most of them are a little different than what you would have picked.
Oh, that's what we're getting ready for. Yeah. Okay. Well, if you're anything like me and my wife, the rock stars that we are, we're getting to bed on New Year's Eve by 9:30 or 10.
Yeah.
That's right. We're party animals, folks. We're going to bed early. Staying up late now just sounds awful to me, by the way. And I've seen that ball drop like a million times, so I don't need to watch it anymore. Back in the day, though, we had some great New Year's parties. We had one here at your house, one New Year's Eve, and Kurt, the movie hound, and I did the kid and play epic dance in the kitchen.
Yeah.
We were wearing our popped collared polo shirts, right?
And
we were consuming some spirits that evening.
That same party, there's a picture floating around. Sorry to the movie hound.
Yes.
For some reason, he's on the outside of the door. Nice. And he is, I believe he might be exposing one of his breasts up against the glass. And that picture's
floating around.
It's floating around.
That's great.
I'll have to post that. Sorry, Kurt.
So we used to, at least my wife and I used to engage in some New Year's spirited action there, having some fun staying up late, but now.
Oh, like playing board games?
We've played inappropriate board games.
Oh, inappropriate board games.
We've played them with you. We've had some drinks.
Yeah.
We've gone outside and tried to light firecrackers with.
Do you remember Y2K?
Jesse and other people.
You were at our house. We were at my parents' house.
Yeah.
Do you remember running up and down the street banging on pots?
I do. Kind of. Maybe not 100%.
I believe you were recreating Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
You're running up and down the street.
Oklahoma. Well, it's because we lived. We made it. At 12:01, no planes fell out of the sky.
You're so excited.
So we survived.
Yeah. I remember we had glasses, computers. You know, the 2000 had the holes and, you know, anyway.
Yeah. The computers didn't break down. The internet didn't go offline.
No.
It was a big run up for no reason.
We made
as it turned out. And here we are 23 years later. Y2K hasn't affected us despite your paranoia.
No, I know.
All right.
No, well, I had to get my money back on the bunker that I...
Something. Right. So, folks, at this point, we're way more than halfway there. So, prayers up as we get ready to dance the night away with your ultimate 80s New Year's Eve party playlist. Well, before we jump into the music, since, again, that's probably why you're here, a quick disclaimer. I'm sure we will not play everyone's favorite party songs from the 80s. In fact, this topic, after I started it, was a horrible idea, as I found selecting just 10 songs a near impossibility. And I'm confident I've left a ton of great fun songs off the list. And I'm positive, Rob, you've done the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I showed Kip my list and he just shook his head and was like, I don't think he approved. He was upset. I forgot several. He was naming these songs that I didn't really want. And he was showing it to other people and they were agreeing with him. So he can flip his head all he wants in the booth. Point is Kip didn't love my, I love my playlist.
Yeah.
But we persevered. And in the end, we've chosen the ones we like the most. And hopefully, even if you don't love every song, maybe it inspires you to use some of them to throw together your own party playlist this New Year's Eve. Also, these songs are in no particular order, as Rob mentioned earlier. The intent is you can throw this playlist on shuffle and enjoy all the songs at any time during the evening, driving in your car, relaxing at home, whatever it is you're doing for New Year's Eve. This will be the background, as you said, to that excitement.
Yeah.
I like now that you can just hit shuffle.
Yeah.
You know, earlier this year, we did a playlist that came on an actual CD and you have to build it.
Yeah.
You don't have to build anymore. You just hit shuffle.
And I kind of thought maybe you would go that route because you're good at that. You have an innate sense of how to put together a logical progression of mood.
Yep.
I don't necessarily have that gene. And so I just put them on and the shuffle helps me.
Yeah. This one, the shuffle is going to be your friend too, because all 10 are great. You could kind of play them all together. There's no rhyme or reason to my songs other than they're awesome.
Well, and something I was going to add earlier is I tried to think of, you said you have different genres.
I do.
New Year's parties tend to have a pretty eclectic group of age ranges. And so I tried to include some songs that might hit different age groups and generations.
So, all right.
Anyway. But
Then with that, everyone has waited long enough. They've heard all of our yammering about how we picked our songs.
Mm-hmm.
So kick off our year-end episode, Rob, with our final show of 2023. Can't emphasize that enough. Kick it off with your first song.
All right. Well, first I will add that I have a kind of a disclaimer at the beginning of every song as to why this resonates for the year. So here we go.
Gotcha.
So the new year is a reminder that we can challenge the status quo. It's a reminder that you don't have to do all the negative things that society forces on you. This song speaks to the power of challenging societal norms.
See what happens when you use big words?
I know.
Wow. Great song. Not what I expected, but really good. I like that.
Have to take our clothes off.
We don't.
And we can have fun without...
Drink some cherry wine.
Right?
I love it. I do like this song.
Yeah.
I like this.
Oh, no.
And I like the beat because if you can't dance, it's easy to keep track of.
Right.
Cherry wine. I haven't had cherry wine myself, but I had Grape Mad Dog once, 2020.
Oh,
not great.
That sounds awful. So anyway, the idea of we don't have to take our clothes off, but this was released. This is We Don't Have to Take Our Clothes Off by Jermaine Stewart. In the UK, it was released as We Don't Have To.
They
left off the clothes part.
Gotcha.
American R&B singer Jermaine Stewart. Sadly, he died of AIDS-related liver cancer in 1997 at the age of 39. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, his burial site was left without a tombstone or even a grave marker for over 17 years. Then in 2014, his grave finally received a gravestone paid for by an anonymous fan. So that's pretty cool. Released in 1986 as the lead singer from his lead single from his second studio album, Frantic Romantic. I just like that title of that. Yeah. His biggest commercial success, it peaked at number 5. I thought this was an interesting quote from Stewart. He said, I think it made a lot of people's minds open up a little bit. We didn't only want to just talk about clothes. We wanted to extend that. We wanted to use the song as a theme to be able to say you don't have to do all the negative things that society forces on you. You don't have to drink and drive. You don't have to take drugs early. The girls don't have to get pregnant early. So the clothes bit of it was to get people's attention, which it did. And I'm glad it was a positive message.
I assumed, you know, 80s had the big AIDS scare. I assumed it was a way to say, look, we can have fun and we don't have to.
I took that note out, but I did. I took that note out, but there was something about how it coincided with the AIDS epidemic.
That seems right.
That was really good. Good job. Yeah. A little trivia for you. Jermaine Stewart.
Yes.
He.
No.
Sorry, I had a little momentary loss of, I had a little stroke there.
Yeah.
Jermaine Stewart gained recognition as a dancer on what popular American music variety television show? Was it Soul Train, American Bandstand, Top of the Pops, or Dance Party USA?
I feel like it's, I've seen that guy. I'm going to go with Dance Party USA.
It's actually Soul Train. Soul and Train. While working there, he befriended another Soul Train dancer by the name of Jody Watley.
Oh, very good.
There you go.
Those two together in a room. That's some music history right there. For those of you on the YouTube at home, yes, I took my sunglasses off.
Yeah, why'd you do that?
Great. You took the sun-jeez. I thought it was a great idea. Going to make me have that 80s cool vibe. I cannot read anything I need for this music. So it's going to have to go away, folks. The Oakleys have been dissolved.
That's all right.
And that'll take me to my first song because we're done talking about my sun-jeez. And this is a great way to start the evening.
Ooh. Relax. Don't do it. This is good.
This is good. Every 80s party, this is maybe mandatory play.
That's what I mean. This is a song that's in the background. You know.
Oh, yeah. And but you could go out and dance if you want to.
Yeah.
Ooh. It's really good.
Duran Duran could have a lot on this list.
That's not Duran Duran, but close.
Oh, what did I?
Okay, so this is Relax by Frankie Goes to Hollywood. Oh, that's what
I
meant.
Sorry. I did know that.
You'd think a year into our 80s experience, you'd have a little more expertise.
No, I did know that. I got the wrong guy.
That's fine.
Sorry.
And Duran Duran's a group, not a guy. This is a group.
We need to have like
a chart for you.
Well, a chart, or we need to have like a party foul kind of thing.
Yeah, something. Well, we'll work on that for 2024.
Something goes in a jar.
There you go. Well, this was released in the UK in October 1983 and the US in March of 1984. It is a synth pop song by the English group Frankie Goes to Hollywood. Just to reiterate that for you. This hit number one in the UK, but only number 10 on the US Hot 100. Hit number one on 9 other international charts, including Thailand, which I believe is my first shout out on the show for Thailand. And it was a top 10 in 11 other countries. This is one of the 10 biggest selling singles in the UK. It ranks number 6. I looked at the list. You're going to like some of this list. Some of the songs above it, the 5 songs above it, you had You're the One That I Want, Grease,
yeah,
Bohemian Rhapsody, Do They Know It's Christmas, which was on our previous Christmas, and Candle in the Wind from Elton John. So those are a couple above it, all-time single sales. Despite some controversy, the BBC banned it from the radio. That was the controversy. It had overtly sexual lyrics.
Oh.
However, despite the ban, it was on the charts for 37 consecutive weeks. And 35 of those was during the band when it was banned.
Oh.
So that means people were like, even though it wasn't getting on to the radio or on TV,
they were
BBC,
finding a way.
They were still listening to it no matter what. In 1985, it was awarded the best British single of 1984 by the Brit Awards. A long time rumor is that the song is about masturbation. However, the lead singer said the song just came to him on a walk down Princess Avenue in Liverpool. He said there was no calculated effort to make the song anything in particular. The words just happened to float into his head. So that's an interesting thing, right? So, fun fact. I thought you'd like.
Yes.
The 14th all-time selling single in the UK is your boy B.A.
Yeah.
With Everything I Do, I Do It For You.
Yeah.
So somehow that fool was able to also convince the UK that he's talented and a good singer. I'm not sure how that happened.
He's coming to Spokane, and don't think I didn't look at tickets.
You got him?
No, I didn't.
No. I almost want to go just to throw fruit at him. Maybe. No, that's not nice.
No.
I don't know that I could take 2 hours of Brian on stage. No, I can't do it. That's two good songs to start our playlist. Starts the evening off well, so let's keep it going, Rob.
Okay, so this is where I'm probably going to get into the weird realm stuff. Well, no, the realm of opening you up for giving you some, I'm going to lob some, you're going to be able to criticize me here.
Oh, okay.
All right. So this, for some, the new year will be another year where that special someone will never know how you feel about them. This song speaks to those out there that are out of sorts because they're transfixed by someone who will never know how they feel. They slip to the dark side, another victim of unrequited love.
You are very poetic today. Hey. The boss.
Just wait a minute. You and I both get
it. We both made a mistake.
We get a dinger.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's not. Okay.
I know.
I could have. It sounds like him.
Oh, right? cool sax. I mean, even the sax. It sounds like the E Street Band.
It does.
Yeah.
That's a fail on my part,
though. Yeah.
I will say I've always assumed that was him.
So this is On the Dark Side by a band called John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band.
Man, they sound
I
just
will
like
admit, him. I always thought it was Bruce and the E Street Band.
There you go.
But it's by fictional American rock band Eddie and the Cruisers.
Oh, yeah.
It's from the 1983 film of the same name, Eddie and the Cruisers. Peaked at number 64 on the Billboard. The film itself was pulled after 3 weeks. So it was in theater, didn't do well.
Pulled
in 3 weeks. In 1984, it was released on home video.
Are we going to need to review Eddie and the Cruisers to get the hound in here?
I don't think so.
Okay.
This time, though, it reached number 7 in 80. So when it came to home video, then it got another kind of resurgence. So it reached number 7. In real life, John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band, they perform in the style of Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. Nice job. Yep. They're an American rock band out of Rhode Island. They started in the 70s. They're originally known as simply the Beaver Brown. And they got their name from a paint can.
I like it. Very creative.
Yep. So another of their songs, Voice of America. Voice of America's Sons was the featured theme song on the official soundtrack of the 1980s action movie starring Sylvester Stallone. Was it Lock Up, Rambo First Blood, Rocky III, or Cobra?
Wow. That's tough. I'm going to go Rambo First Blood. I'm 0-2 today.
Yeah, it's actually Cobra.
Cobra.
The 1986 action film follows police detective Marion Cobra Cobretti. Investigates a string of violent crimes while also protecting a witness targeted by perpetrators.
Additionally,
John Cafferty's solo track, Hearts of Fire, was featured on another Stallone movie, Rocky IV.
Nice.
So Stallone likes the Beaver Brown Band.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Could have swore it was. I don't love it because it sounds like the Bruce.
I know.
And the Bruce I can take in doses.
Yeah.
So that's okay. That's a background. That's I go refill my drink and go to the bathroom song. Perfect for that. Well, but my next song, my number two song, I'm going to stay with the dance theme. A lot of my songs, I'm just going to be honest now that I look at them, a lot of dance theme going on. But this one, a lot of people don't think about it. They may not play it, but it's awesome and amazing. And here it is.
Oh, is this Jungle Love? Yeah.
Oh,
Oh, this is good.
Some good dance music right here.
I'm excited for this playlist.
Oh, yes.
That's good.
That is good. So this is, as you said, Jungle Love, parenthetical, the Time song by Morris Day and the Time. This is a funk pop song released in December 1984. Not a lot of charts to find this on. It did go to number 20 on the U.S. Hot 100, number 6 on the U.S. Hot Black Singles Chart. It was recorded during Prince's 1999 tour, and the song uses a synthesizer, drum machines, keyboards, and electric guitar, which allowed it to cross over multiple musical genres.
Uh-huh.
So it's got lots of different sounds in it for everybody. The momentum of Prince's Purple Rain helped this song hit higher than it may have otherwise on the charts, but it has a great party dance song. I think it's a lot of fun. It got a resurgence in 2001 and was featured in the Kevin Smith movie, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Very funny movie. Highly recommended. Jay, in particular, huge fan of the song. And Morris Day even makes an appearance at the end of the movie to play the song live. Uh-huh. I like when Jay says the song was handed down from God himself to Morris Day. And he calls it Morris Day in the mother effing time.
Yeah.
So that's what he says. So it's here because I like it. It gets you hyped at the party. And how can you not have fun hearing this song?
Yeah,
it's just a fun song.
I remember in Purple Rain, that was my favorite part when they were in the club and Morris Day got on stage and the time
he's vibing.
Yeah, and then he does that dance.
Yeah,
it's so good.
I love it. We should do that dance one of these times.
We should.
We're gonna make a short video. We're gonna play that song and we're gonna do the OEO, and then that'll be on our YouTube channel.
Okay,
something for people to look forward to.
Oh,
just to see me and Rob moving back and forth. A lot of things will move that shouldn't move, but we'll be there doing it. So,
All right.
Now it's time for your third song on this playlist.
My third song.
All right. Yeah.
So, the new year is a chance for some to stretch, strive, and seek new experiences outside of their comfort zone. It's a chance for some to thrive. This includes elements of success, but also elements of continual growth and improvement. Although the roots of this song are about a male prostitute, this song encourages the listener to call that special someone that you've been avoiding. All right.
Oh, very good. That's good. Blondie's good.
Yeah.
That's a good addition to the 80s.
Yeah.
Feels New Year's Eve-ish.
It just squeaked in.
Yeah.
Barely 80s. I believe this is 80.
Yeah. That's fine. It's still really, really good.
This is one of the earliest songs I remember hearing as a kid.
It's really good.
I would only been three.
Way better than the Beaver Brown Band.
But I remember being on the front porch of my aunt's house, and my cousin Sean and his friends were on the porch, and they were listening to a radio, and I remember this was one of the songs playing.
So it's really
good. One of the earliest songs I remember.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is Call Me by Blondie. They're an American new wave band. But it was released for the 1980 film American Gigolo. And it was number one for six consecutive weeks. It would end the year as Billboard's number one single. And Stevie Nicks and Fleetwood Mac were actually flagged to perform the song on the soundtrack. The lyrics were written from the perspective of the main character in the film, a male prostitute. Deborah Harry, said the lyrics were inspired by her visual impressions from watching the film, and that, quote, when I was writing it, I pictured the opening scene driving on the coast of California. The keyboard and composer, Harold Faltermeyer.
Yes, I know the Harold.
Best known for Axel F.
Axel F.
Yep. It's ranked number 283 on the list of Rolling Stone's 500 greatest songs of all time. In 1981, the song was nominated for a Grammy, for best rock performance by a duo or a group. Here's who was nominated. Blondie for Call Me, Pink Floyd, The Wall, The Pretenders,
good.
Brass in Pocket,
good.
Queen, Another One Bites the Dust, and Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band with Against the Wind.
That's a tough category.
Yeah, they all lost to Bob Seger.
Okay.
Yeah.
I usually hate those folks. Mm-hmm. They're usually wrong on top of wrong. But in that category, you could almost just pick any song and it was good.
Yeah. Originally billed as Angel and the Snake for two shows, they eventually renamed themselves Blondie. The new name derived from A, Clint Eastwood's nickname in the spaghetti western, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. B, a butterscotch cake treat made by Debbie Harry's grandmother. C, comments made by truck drivers who catcalled "Hey Blondie" to Harry, or D, Harry's nickname given to her by her ex-boyfriend.
These are hard questions today.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to go with the catcall by truck drivers.
Excellent.
Nice job.
Sounds right.
Comments made by truck drivers who catcalled "Hey Blondie." Nice job. Yep.
All right.
They're harder questions because you've had a year.
I've had a year.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. But yes, I haven't studied any more for trivia than I would have a year ago, but that's fine. So, all right. Well, my third song, it's a break in genre from the first two. First two were pretty much dance kind of fun songs. This is also a dance song, just a different style. I think you're really going to like this.
Okay.
I'm pretty pumped to play you this song.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And it brings it down a little bit. You can still dance to it though.
Oh yeah.
You could white guy dance.
This down.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I like that beat in the back.
A little bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is A Little Respect by Erasure, a synth pop duo from England. The song is a plea to a lover to show compassion or respect. This hit number 14 on the US Hot 100, number 2 on the Billboard Dance Club Songs, number 6 in Denmark, number 7 in Ireland, and number 4 in the UK. This has been covered many times and has been recognized as an essential synth pop song from the 80s. I chose it because it sounds fun, has a great dance beat, and just feels like the 80s. That whole vibe is in there. In the last few years, it has had sort of a rebirth on TikTok. People use it to do little dance overs, things like that. This one is one of Erasure's signature songs. In the music video, it's really 80s. At the part of the song when he talks about not breaking his heart, a band member literally takes a hammer and breaks like a glass heart.
Is it in slow motion?
It's very visual. This was also used in an episode of Scrubs, a show that I've mentioned many times this year on the show.
I think it's mentioned in my notes for a different song.
Oh, nice.
Scrubs comes up a lot.
I love Scrubs, and they reference the 80s a lot, 80s and 90s, as they should. But I just love this song. I think it's another good one to have on in the background.
Yeah,
and, great song. And it's one of those you don't hear all the time.
No.
So you'd hear it and be like, oh, I like that song.
I forgot that I like that song.
So, yeah, Erasure.
Yeah, Very good. Good pick. No crossover. See, I think zero. I'm sticking with zero.
All right. We're only six songs into this thing, so we got a long ways to go.
All right.
Never underestimate our brains.
That's true.
They meld more often than we think.
That's right. So. For this next song, for some, the new year is a chance to break out of their passive shell and get tenacious about their goals and objectives. Tenacious means not easily letting go or giving up, like a clingy child who has a tenacious grip on his mother's hand. A strong grip or an unyielding advocate might both be described as tenacious. This song speaks to the power of being resolute, firm, and persistent, like Axel Foley getting his man.
Ooh. Oh, good one. Beverly Hills Cop 2.
It is, yeah.
The before mentioned Bob Seger.
I know. Yeah, it comes back out.
It's a good song.
You're busted.
Got a nice little party vibe.
Yeah. Good stuff. They're busted.
Yeah, that's good.
So aggressive. And you got some
very aggressive.
You got some horns.
Got horns. You got, anytime you got horns, you're probably on the road to having something really good.
Yeah. So this is 87, Bob Seger from the soundtrack of Beverly Hills Cop 2. The music was written by Harold Faltermeyer.
There he is.
With lyrics by Seger. It was a number one hit on the Billboard Hot 100. Seger's only such top mark ever. Singles wise. In 88, it was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Original Song, Golden Globe Award for Best Original Song, but it lost both of those to Dirty Dancing's I've Had the Time of My Life.
That's tough. That's warranted. So
Glenn Frey from the Eagles, who sung The Heat Is On from the first one.
Love that song.
He had been pegged to do this song, but he ended up getting laryngitis. Couldn't do it, so they gave it to Seger. After the song went to number one, Frey called to congratulate Seger, and he said, at least we kept the money in Michigan.
There you go.
Apparently, they're both Michigan boys.
Nice.
Seger, here's just something really quick about Seger. He has a career spanning six decades. He sold more than 75 million records worldwide. He's one of the world's best-selling artists of all time. He's inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame. He was named Billboard's 2015 Legend of Live, and his farewell tour took place in 2018 and 2019. He's since retired. Anyway.
So Bob's good at his job.
Bob was very good at his job. Trivia. Oh, this is a good one for you.
Okay.
What popular Seger song was featured in the 1983 Tom Cruise film Risky Business, in which Tom Cruise's character dances in his underwear to the song?
No options on this one.
No, you get none.
It's the old time rock and roll.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. old time rock and roll. It has since been ranked the second most played jukebox song of all time behind Patsy Cline's Crazy.
I was going to say Journey. Don't Stop Believing.
Yeah.
It seems like a big jukebox song.
Yeah. Or Clarence Carter's
Stroking. Or what was the other one?
Backdoor Santa.
Backdoor Santa. Yeah, that's a good one too. So, well, that's a good song. So you got some rock going in yours so far. So that's pretty good. Well, I'm going to go back to kind of that R&B dance feel for this one. And I think this is another one of those songs you forget about and you don't remember. So see if you can, I'll give you a little remembrance with this.
Okay. I like this song a lot.
So good.
Love it.
This feels like a party song.
Yeah. Oh.
And this video is great. You should go watch the video. Yeah, I really like that song.
Love it.
Sounds like a party.
This is my favorite list so far that we've ever done.
It's good. So this is Rock Steady by The Whispers.
Oh, see, I didn't know who did. I couldn't have pulled that up.
This was released in June of 1987, and maybe not an 80s song most people think of, but fun and awesome nonetheless. Hit number 7 on the U.S. Hot 100. Not much success anywhere else, which is disappointing. Song was produced by L.A. Reid and Babyface. Sounds like that. And is the group's highest all-time selling single. This is a New Jack Swing funk-sounding song that will hype up any party. The song was nominated for a Grammy for Best R&B Performance by a Duo or Group. losing to George Michael and Aretha Franklin for I Knew You Were Waiting, which is also a really awesome song, so I can't hate on that one. Fun fact, the lead singers are identical twins, and in the video, they have two of the best mustaches I saw in the 80s. There's an argument to be made that they're on par with one Mr. Tom Selleck.
Oh.
If you go look at that video and check out those mustaches.
The mustaches.
They are tremendous.
Peebo was rocking a Peebo, pretty nice.
Yeah, but he had the thin. These guys have full lip mustaches. Okay. They're bushy.
Okay.
They're fully formed. They're trimmed really well.
Okay.
It looks good.
All right.
The twins. And it's fun to watch the twins.
And what year was that?
87.
87. The Whispers. Yes,
the Whispers.
Okay.
All right. We're rocking along.
We,
halfway
this
point.
Is, yeah, this is a little different. It's in the rock genre,
gotcha.
But it's one that you could sing along to and you'd know it. So, okay. Do you often take on more tasks than you can handle? Do you often agree to tasks you don't want to do? Are your goals falling by the wayside because you're constantly helping someone else meet their goals? If you do, the new year may be a time for some to learn to say no and set boundaries with the people in your life. This song speaks to the power of being mindful of those people in your life that might be taking advantage of you. All right.
Okay.
Hopefully nobody's taking advantage of you.
Not so far.
Okay.
Oh, Billy Squire.
Yeah.
This song always makes me think of Billy Madison.
Ah, that comes up.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
That is as 80 of a sounding song as you're going to get.
So this is written and recorded by American rock artist Billy Squire, 1981. It's his first single to chart. It reached number 17 on the Billboard Hot 100. It was named the 59th best hard rock song of all time by VH1. I'm going to go out and just be open and say, I always thought this had a sexual connotation, the whole stroking, stroke me. But it was never intended to sound as sexual as it initially was. So the stroke was inspired by the music industry, specifically Squire's experience with labels, executives, and all the overall machine that so readily uses, manipulates, and exploits artists. Squire's quoted as saying, I take songwriting very seriously, and I wouldn't want anything I do to be considered as frivolous or mundane. Plenty of people saw sexual connotations in it, but to me, it was about what goes on in the business world. Squire added, saying it doesn't bother him that much. I mean, I'm happy if people get something sexual out of it, but that was not its original intent.
Yeah.
The song became a way for Squire to call out those evils. Squire advises that if you want to be in this business, you've got to learn how to play its dirty game, one that involves letting the industry stroke you, or rather turn you into one of their toys. And so there's a line that says, put your right hand out, give a firm handshake. First you try to bed me, you make my backbone slide.
Nice.
In popular culture, it's been featured in Billy Madison, Blades of Glory.
Wasn't it a part in Billy Madison when he pulls up to high school in the T-top? And then everybody makes fun of him?
Yeah.
I think he's wearing an REO Speedwagon t-shirt.
Yeah. It's been sampled by Eminem, featured on Call of Duty. Trivia for you. Early in his career, Billy Squire released two albums as a member of which band?
Oh.
A, Piper. B, Kiss. C, Cream. D, The New York Dolls.
I don't know many of those, but I know a couple by names. I'm going to go with Cream.
No.
Dolls.
It was a band I know. It was Piper. I've never heard of
the one band I hadn't heard of.
Billy Squire spent most of his early career by being a member of several bands. He was a member of the bands Magic Terry and the Universe.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. Sounds great.
Kix and the Sidewinders. And then Billy then formed the band Piper in 1976. Yeah. So anyway.
That song too, one of the podcasts that's been nice to our show over the year, called The Mixtape. They use that.
Oh.
We're not perfect. No one's perfect when you do these podcasts. And when they have a word salad or do something weird, they hit a button and it does the stroke for them screwing up on camera, on the podcast.
Yeah.
So kind of a creative way to say, fix your mouth right there. So,
I like it.
So I remember it for that now too. So, well, I've been doing a lot of R&B dance. I had a little synth pop in there a couple times. So I'm going to switch this up now. Cause as you said at the beginning of this, we want the eclectic group of the party to be able to have some fun. This one's going to blow the roof off a little more than the rest of them. So we'll give this a little go.
Oh, I always forget this is 80s. Listen, it is clearly. Oh. to me, this feels like you're 4 or 5 beers in.
Oh, yeah.
And this comes on, your air guitar in it.
Oh, yeah. This has a great guitar solo. We won't get it all in this, but no. For anyone else listening, listen along.
So far. Oh, that's good.
It's really good. So, obviously, it's Paradise City by Guns N' Roses, released as a single from Appetite for Destruction in January of 1989, and is the only song on the album to feature a synthesizer. The song hit number 5 in the U.S. Hot 100 chart, number 1 in Ireland, so cheers to the Irish. Great song. Great job. It was top 10 in 7 other countries and is certified 2x platinum in the U.K. Slash said the band wrote the song while drinking in the back of their touring van. Mm-hmm. They were just playing around with acoustic guitars and came up with the music, and then Axl just started throwing lyrics in. That's literally how they wrote the song.
Nice.
That amazes me sometimes. So the band uses Paradise City to close most of their shows. Well, they used it to close their shows while touring due to its raucous musical stylings when they were doing the Appetite tour. Mm-hmm. It was kind of their closing song. Song ranked number 21 on VH1's Greatest Metal Songs of All Time. Rolling Stone ranked it 459 on its list of 500 Greatest Songs of All Time. However, the publications Spin and Ultimate Classic Rock have cited it as the band's worst and highly overrated song, which I highly disagree with, saying the song runs out of ideas halfway through, but still goes on for 6 more minutes. So
I do not agree with that
at all. So sounds cool to me. Definitely hypes you up at the party, in my opinion. Fun fact, the band performed this song live at the Freddie Mercury tribute concert in 1992.
Nice.
Freddie had mentioned to them back when this came out that he really enjoyed this song. So he played it at his tribute concert.
That's an honor. Right? I mean, Freddie Mercury
to get asked to play at that. And he says he liked the song.
So, well, good that is good. This is a Paradise really City. Good playlist.
So far, yeah.
I'm really happy with this.
It's good.
All right.
Number 6.
All right. Here we go. The new year is a chance for some to challenge authority. Although I don't encourage challenging authority, there may be situations where it might be necessary to question or oppose the decisions, directives, or actions of a manager by a team member or a group of team members. This song speaks to standing up against the heavy-handed rules that keep us from living.
Ooh. Really good. Good party song. This is really good. This song has some weird elements.
Yeah.
Like lasers start going off. And this guy, I like the way he sings. Mm-hmm. I feel like I could sing like this, but it's fine. He sounds half drunk, I think.
Probably
but it's really good. Can't go wrong with it. When I was in Japan, we went down into Tokyo. We had this 80s bar. Literally, all they played was, it looked like the 80s inside everything. And the Japanese would love to go there, but we would go there. And this song would play a lot. There's about 4 songs that would play a lot, but this was one of those. So it kind of gives me that memory of being in Japan. Yeah. You'd walk in and, it's really good.
I just thought this was, I could hear this playing in the background. Amp it up a little bit. So this English punk rock band, The Clash, was released in 82, peaked at number 8. It's their only top 10 single in the US. Your previous song, you were talking about how you were fascinated when people sit down and they spit out a song and put words to it. So the story goes that the drummer found himself in the studio. He was without his bandmates. He taped the drum, piano, and bass parts, recording the bulk of the song's musical instrumentation himself. Another bandmate went into the studio's toilets and wrote the lyrics to match the melody, and out came a song. The title of the song came from a phrase that originated during a jam session when someone started playing some Eastern style music and someone said, "Hey, rock that Casbah."
It takes me 3 tries to write a memo at work.
Yeah.
And they pop out
you hear about some of the best songs in history are written in 2 minutes. The song tells the story of a ban on Western rock music by a Middle Eastern king. The king tries to justify the ban. The people protest against the ban by holding rock concerts in temples and squares, hence Rock the Casbah. The king orders his military fighter jets to bomb the protesters. The pilots ignore his orders and instead play rock music on their cockpit radios during the protest. I didn't know this, but there's an actual ban on Western music, including rock music, enforced in Iran.
Now, of course.
Classic music and public concerts were briefly permitted in the 80s and 90s. Then the ban was reinstated in 2005, and it's been in place ever since. Western music is still distributed in Iran through black markets, and Iranian rock music artists are forced to record in secret under threat of arrest. I did not know that.
That sounds right. I don't know how you didn't know that.
I mean, I guess, trivia. This album was considered the number one album of the 80s by Rolling Stone magazine. Was it Combat Rock, Sandinista, London Calling, or Cut the Crap?
I'm going to go with London Calling.
Oh,
excellent. Nice job.
Yeah.
I read that somewhere once. Yeah, that's why I said it.
Yeah. London Calling was released midway through December of 79, but is considered an 80s album.
Oh, interesting. Yeah,
there you go.
Good song.
Yep.
Good addition. So my last song, I helped the rockers in the room, but I'm going right back to my kind of R&B dance theme because that's what makes me feel good at these parties. And let's let it ride.
Oh. Yep. Now you're finding your girl. You're finding that your person.
Maybe, yeah.
Go for
it. Picks up a little bit. This is gives you a chance to talk from it, but it goes.
This is good.
I like it. Again, it's the calm party part, but it's a good party song. That's another one you hear it again and you're like, oh, I like that one.
Yeah. All night long.
All night long.
That's good.
So that is...
Got a little Caribbean feel to it.
Yeah, it's got some stuff there. All night long. Parenthetical, all night, as you said, by Lionel Richie. This was released off of his second album since leaving the Commodores, and it hit the airwaves in August of 1983. The song was very popular. Hit number one in the U.S. Hot 100, number one in Australia, Canada, Finland, the Netherlands, and South Africa. Also tops 10 in 7 other countries. The lyrics are mostly in English, but there are some African lines in the middle of the song that Richie has revealed are complete gibberish.
Oh.
So Richie closed the 1984 Summer Olympics with this song, and it was used in the pilot episode of Miami Vice.
Oh.
He was actually supposed to perform in that, and then something happened. He was supposed to be in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Something happened. He couldn't be in the show, but they used the song. Overall, this is a fun, catchy song that feels like the 80s, just makes you want to party and dance.
Yes.
As you said, you could talk to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great addition to any 80s party playlist. By the way, back to that gibberish part, he has come out later and said he kind of apologized to African countries.
That seems a little...
He didn't go a little further and actually get some of the language. But it is what it is.
It was the 80s.
Video was a lot of fun for once. I like the 80s video. Very bright colors. Lots of nostalgia. Everyone's dancing and smiling. Like, everyone's smiling from ear to ear for the whole video. If you want a good throwback, hit up the YouTube. Check that out. It'll make you happy. I promise.
That's a good song.
Yep. All night long.
Whatever. My number.
Seventh song. Oh, boy. Your seventh addition to the playlist.
I'm excited about this one.
Uh-oh.
So, to be stuck in the hamster wheel of life means to sacrifice your own happiness for a life and a parent's safety. There are only two possibilities. Either you accept your life and your job, in other words, keep playing it safe, or you try to get off the hamster wheel. This song is an anthem to get off the hamster wheel and start living.
Ah, that's good. Depeche Mode?
No.
Oh.
You'll get the next. You'll get it. On your next guess, you'll get it.
In Excess.
There you go.
Well, I can't blur those, but that's sometimes I do, and I shouldn't.
That's all right.
It's definitely In Excess. Very good, though. I love In Excess.
Mm-hmm.
Can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, they had a whole string there.
In Excess is the rock set of the 80s.
Yeah.
A lot of pop hits.
The male version. Yeah. so this is Australian rock group In Excess. It's from their sixth studio album, Kick, in 87. The song features a signature sax solo
and
lyrics about a partying lifestyle.
It's one of the best sax solos you'll listen to.
It reached number 3. Cashbox called New Sensation the poppiest, hookiest song on the album.
I agree.
Feels like they...
I had that tape.
The poppiest, hookiest. I don't think that's probably... They would have... past writing class or
they passed something they're writing for this publication for
Crashbox.
That's right.
The poppiest, hookiest song on the album, perhaps the most radio ready. It's and their band name is a phonetic play on In Excess. Everybody knew that. For 20 years, In Excess was fronted by Hutchins, until he died in 1997. I didn't realize he had died that long ago. During a concert in 2012, they stated that they were no longer going to stay together. It was their last. Okay. It was their last. So they're no more. Bad. Yep. But in Australia, they're huge.
Oh, yeah.
They have won 6 Australian Recording Industry Awards, including 3 for Best Group in 87, 89, and 92. They're in the Australian Recording Industry Hall of Fame. They've sold 95 million albums worldwide, making them one of Australia's highest selling music acts of all time. Trivia, what was the band INXS known as originally? Was it the Harris Brothers, the Pengilly Brothers, the Righteous Brothers, or the Ferris Brothers?
Let's go with D.
Oh, nice job. Yeah, the Ferris Brothers. The group, which was formed in Sydney in 1977.
Nice.
They were around a long time. Was originally known as the Ferris Brothers. It had often supported the popular Australian political band Midnight Oil. Its manager suggested that they change their name to INXS, the current spelling, and become a Christian rock band.
Oh.
And they did. And if they did, he would manage them. And so what the group did, they said, we like the name, but we won't be a Christian band. And so they took the name and
that was it.
Got a new manager.
Perfect. So
there you go. Yep.
So that's a great song.
INXS, new sensation.
We are rolling along.
Yeah.
Well, my 7th song is one of those. It could be considered one of the songs of the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And back to addressing some of my more rocker friendly folks in the house.
Oh. Jump.
Jump.
Nice. I'm going to say it probably 10 more times before we're over. This is the best list we've put together.
Well, we're not done yet. Well, if you're at a party, you hear this.
Oh, yeah.
I mean.
And depending on where you're at in the night, if you're, oh, yeah. you're going to try to do the kick.
Oh, you
you're
could. Gonna, the full David Lee Roth?
Yeah.
I can't do that.
Who said that?
I love that he's asking himself his own questions.
Who said that?
So this is Jump by Van Halen. Van Halen, obviously. This is Van Halen's most successful single off their Monster album, 1984. That's one of those iconic album covers with the baby smoking, apparently.
Yes.
Has wings. Mm-hmm. Of course, it went to number 1 in the U.S. Hot 100, was a top 10 hit in 9 other countries. Rolling Stone has this ranked at 177 on its list of 500 greatest songs of all time. What's interesting about Jump is that Van Halen is known for its guitar music due to Eddie Van Halen, one of the best guitar players of all time. But this song starts and has like 90% synthesizer as its baseline. A lot of synthesizer. Hall & Oates are back again and apparently inspired everyone in the 80s. As they said, Eddie told them he borrowed this synth line in Jump from Kiss on My List, to which Daryl said he had no problem with that at all. So song was a big departure from the band's sound as they made this purposely to be more radio friendly and MTV friendly to help them expand their popularity, which was a lot of David Lee Roth's because he was built for MTV. And he wanted to get on there. Mm-hmm. So some considered it selling out, but
I've heard that.
Yeah. So a video is awesome. I mean, if you've seen it, you know it. If not, go to YouTube. David Lee Roth is doing exactly what the song says. He is jumping around on stage like a crazy person.
Doing air kicks.
The song was nominated for a Grammy in 1984 for Best Rock Performance by a duo group, losing to Prince's Purple Rain. Purple Rain being in the rock category is interesting to me. I don't understand how they classify songs sometimes, but maybe because there's a guitar in it. Prince sounds a little more pop or R&B to me, but they did lose to him. So fun fact, this song has become a sporting event staple is still played by many professional and semi-professional teams at stadiums. Even today, a lot of times those filler music, Jump is one of those.
Yep,
I always, when I go to stadiums, Jump, House of Pain's Jump Around, Crazy Train. Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah.
Those seem to be big, like stadium songs.
Yeah. They, at the Seahawks game, they like that. They like a lot of those.
Yeah.
And they'll just play little clips.
Those are the iconic ones.
The guitar lead up to one of the Van Halen songs, where he's running that.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. It's like a beater across
the drill.
Yeah. They'll play it's that Panama. As they're getting ready to kick off. Yeah. They put it in. Anyway.
Isn't that Panama? I think
so. Panama. All right. The next one's the weirdest song on my list, but
you love
it's an 80s staple, and I think it deserves a spot. So
well,
here
let's
we go.
Do it. Oh, no, really good Flock of Seagulls.
Yeah.
Yep. Another good change in the style. Another synth pop type song.
That's a new wave.
Yeah, I really like it. New wave synth pop.
Yeah.
It's got a very memorable, that bump, 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 bump. Very 80s. Yep. Crazy video. They're spinning around in a circle. Of course, they have the crazy hairdo.
Oh, actually, I have a thing about the video.
Yeah.
Anyway, and my lead up for this was, for many, the year is a constant struggle to run away from or towards our issues, struggles, and commitments. This song speaks to the issue of running away from our feelings. It was also released as Iran, just Iran.
Oh, yeah.
Which I read had some issues for children, people from Iran.
Okay.
Anyway. People like made fun of it.
Twice today we've mentioned Iran on the podcast. Odd country for us to go to, but there we are.
Yeah. So. It's a new wave band, A Flock of Seagulls. Mm-hmm. It is a new wave and synth pop song. It was released in 82. It went to number 9 in the United States. Rolling Stone, in an article from Rolling Stone, they said, quote, fronted by a singer synth player with a haircut stranger than anything you'd be likely to encounter in a month of poodle shows, A Flock of Seagulls struck gold on the first try.
No.
Lead vocalist Mike Score says that there were two main reasons or inspirations for this song. So one, he said the members of the band would regularly visit a club in Liverpool. That's been mentioned twice today. Liverpool. One of the bands had a song called Iran. The lead singer noted that they would rehearse there. And so then possibly that title and that chorus got stuck in their head. I don't know. The other possibility is that another idea came from a poster at a recording station office. It was called Zoo Records. The poster featured a man and a woman running away from a flying saucer as the cover for their first album, A Flock of Seagulls. The song is about, I didn't know this, a man who sees an attractive woman. He attempts to run away from his feelings. Before this happens, the man sees lights in the sky, and he and the woman are abducted by aliens.
Beautiful.
I didn't know that.
I like it.
You talked about the video.
Yeah.
I think this is worthy of reading. So this is Mike Score, the lead singer. He recalls the memories from filming the video. He says, the video is basically is just being stupid. Yeah. You know, stand there, the camera is going to be in the middle, and you're going to try and do something. And of course, we had no idea what to do in a video. Videos were not the mini movies yet. If it was up to the band, we probably would have just stood there in our wild gear and gone, okay, we'll just pretend to play. But they wanted a little bit more angular and quirky. It seems to me that all the early videos had to be quirky. I guess nobody was taking them seriously until somebody dropped $1 million on one.
Well, yeah. They didn't know what they were doing then.
Yeah. A little trivia for you. In the second verse, what heavenly body does Mike say is shining down on you? Was it the Aurora Australis, the Aurora Borealis, Halley's Comet, or the Van Allen Belt?
Well, I'm trying to think of what would rhyme. I'll go with the Comet.
It was the Aurora Borealis.
That's hard to rhyme.
Yeah.
That's it.
And apparently the Aurora Borealis is in the northern lights, mm-hmm. and the Aurora Australis is the southern lights. And Britain's in the north. And so anyway,
really good song. Great, great addition. They've all been good.
This is a banger of a list, as you would say.
Well, it's about to crank up a notch right here, because this could be like arguing the 80s party song right here. Like when you hear it, you're just gonna know, and you're gonna be like, yep, that should be played at every party you go to from the 80s. You're about to be possessed by the sounds of MC Rawface and DJ Easy Rock.
I'm telling you, this is the best.
It takes two to make a thing go right.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. I like when he breaks in with the first verse.
I want to wait right now.
Here it comes.
I want to rock right now.
Came to get down.
I'm not internationally known, but I'm known to rock the microphone because
I get stupid.
I mean outrageous.
Wow.
All right. So this is It Takes Two by Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rock. This screams 80s party for me. I just said it before I played it. I'll say it again because that's what it does. No one from our generation hasn't played this at a wedding reception, reunion, 80s party, etc. It gets played all the time. This was released June 1st, 1988. Only hit number 36 in the US Hot 100. 24 in the UK. Some people have claimed that this is the greatest hip hop song ever released. Spin Magazine ranked it number one on its list of 100 greatest singles of all time. Mm. Rolling Stone included this at number 116 on its list of 500 greatest songs of all time. It hit the charts again in 2000 and 2004, finding some success, hitting number 7 in Australia and number 3 in the UK. All I know is when I hear that hit it, I want to rock right now. Mm. You hit the dance floor, and this song has lived on forever. It doesn't matter. I play it for my kids, and they've heard it. When I was going out in the mid-90s and in the 2000s, the song was still being played at bars, at clubs, and people would get hyped. They'd go out on the dance floor, and they would get down. This song is immortal, I think. Yeah,
this is one of those songs that comes at, you get the, not the O face, but as I play, I go, oh.
Oh, yeah.
This is it.
Let's go. Immediately as soon as you hear it.
And they grab your friend.
Yeah. Yeah, and it always brings back.
Yeah.
For those of us who grew up in the 80s and 90s, this will always bring back some sort of, I would imagine if you did any kind of socializing or party, and brings like some sort of memory, because I can remember this in Japan a lot, and the Japanese would go crazy for this song. They played it at the club, and they would dance, and they would love it.
I love it. So, I love it.
It's great.
What are we at here?
Our ninth. Ninth song.
Okay, yeah, so here we go. Oh, we're going back to we're sticking with the R&B theme.
Nice.
In early 80s. My lead up is. The new year is a chance for people to get a fresh start. While it's never a bad time to pick up a new hobby, build a new habit, say goodbye to the things or people that no longer serve you, or completely overhaul your life, there's something about making big changes around the new year that just feels right. This song speaks to saying goodbye to the things that no longer serve you.
Mm. Wow. You went for young new edition.
Yeah. It's a fun one.
That high pitch.
I know.
I think that's Ralph Tresvant, right? I'm pretty sure it's Ralph singing.
But people would sing along this.
Yeah.
And it's got the little clap in the back.
Oh, yeah. It's very well orchestrated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good song.
Yeah.
Cool it now.
Oh, so good. So this is 1984. The hit single from American group New Edition. It was the first single from their album, New Edition. The song was the group's first top 10 single. The song peaked at number 4 in January of 85.
Nice.
Lyrically, the song depicts a guy professing his love for a girl, despite growing concerns from his friends. Mm. The main character sings about wanting to let himself fall in love, despite the friends telling him to cool it now.
Oh, yeah.
Later in the song, he wraps his retort, letting them know he appreciates their input, but he's going to ignore it all at his own risk. There's a midsection rap where Ralph Tresvant calls out the rest of the group, Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky. And then in later years, they changed it to include Johnny. They got Johnny in there.
Johnny's great.
Yeah.
Shout out, Johnny.
So trivia for you. Maurice Starr discovered New Edition. Which boy band did he also discover? Was it A, Backstreet Boys, B, New Kids on the Block, C, 98 Degrees, or D, High Five?
I'm going to go with High Five.
No.
Oh.
Oh, as if.
It was actually New Kids on the Block.
No. Oh.
After New Edition dumped him, he started a new group. New Kids on the Block.
New Kids on the Block.
Yeah.
Nice.
So cool it now.
That's good. Well, my ninth song is my ninth song because honestly, I don't want to go to an 80s party where this song doesn't get played. It's probably one of my top five favorite 80s songs of all time. And besides like St. Elmo's Fire and a couple others, nothing makes me feel more like the 80s than this song.
Okay. This is Come On Eileen.
It is.
By Dexy's Midnight Runner.
That is. The build-up's great.
This is did we include this on our odd songs of the?
I did not.
Or we talked about it, I think, maybe.
I have not.
Only because it's on such a weird sounding song. It's got like banjos and fiddles and
everything. It's perfect. It might be a perfect 80s song.
Love it.
Might be a perfect 80s song.
Yeah.
At least for me. So this is Come On Eileen by Dexy's Midnight Runners. See, it was easier in the 80s. We didn't think about weird things. We just want to come on Eileen and do some other stuff. It's not that tragic, right? So not like the 90s when people wanted to touch themselves and all those other things. So one of my favorite 80s songs, which was released in June of 1982, hit number one in the US Hot 100, number one in Australia, Belgium, Ireland, New Zealand, South Africa, Switzerland, and the UK. The song was named Best British Single in 1983. Britain named it its sixth best number one hit of the 80s, and VH1 ranked it number 18 on its list of the 100 best 80s songs of all time. There is no actual Eileen for the basis of the song. In fact, she was a composite, according to the lead singer, to make a point about Catholic repression. This song prevented Michael Jackson from having back-to-back number one hits as it went to number one between Billie Jean and Beat It.
Wow.
Way to slide in there, huh?
That's a feather in their cap. They get to go, we are the band that knocked
We're between the Billie King Jean and Beat It.
Wow. Yeah.
Impossible, right? For me, essential 80s listening, fun, memorable, great for any party, warrants a place on this New Year's Eve party playlist. In fact, again, I don't want to go to a party that this song doesn't get played. So, fun fact, the main section features, as you said, a Celtic style fiddle played over a drum beat with a bass guitar and piano providing accompaniment.
Yeah, it's a weird
Not a
song.
Lot of people use the old Celtic style fiddle in their music.
I don't think anybody
especially
ever.
In their pop music.
I don't think anybody.
So fantastic.
Oh, that's good.
Come on, Eileen. I remember I saw online a couple years ago, this is a little crass, so if you want to leave the room, go ahead. But someone had put a picture up online, their Halloween costume. And it was a lady. She was wearing a blue dress.
Oh, no.
And on the tag, it said, my name is Eileen. And then she just had this white stain on her dress. Boy. Creative.
So if the Humphreys girls are listening, so mom, you're going to have to.
Very creative.
You might have to explain that. Or you may
Maybe
not
it was
want
tapioca
to.
Tapioca pudding.
Yes.
There you go.
That's what it was.
Go with that.
Yep. We're going to go with was yogurt.
Yes. All Unfortunately, right. that means we are both down to our final song edition for this playlist. We could go on forever, but these we have to have 10 each.
So I will say, so I will say this is probably the song that will get the most, if the people are listening going, there he is. There's Rob for you.
More than Beaver Brown Band?
Maybe.
But I
like this song.
Yes.
And if it came on when I was at a party, I'd sing to it. Good. But anyway, so the new year can send some folks into an existential crisis. By definition, an existential crisis refers to the ensemble of feelings and questions we have to do with the meaning and the purpose of life. These questions aren't easy to find answers to, and this can leave us feeling stuck. We might feel unsure of how to respond or which way to go, and it can even impact our lives in a negative way if these feelings persist or worsen. This song speaks to that existential question, who am I?
Who am I? It's good.
I like this song.
I like it.
I've always liked this song.
Edie Brickell.
Nice. Good job.
Is it just Edie or is she including the New Bohemians?
It is the New Bohemian. Nice job.
That's a good song.
Yeah.
A different vibe for to change up some of the other fast.
Yeah.
Again, more of a relax in the background.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Like it's relaxed now. The night's maybe calming down. You're feeling warm.
Well, it could happen anywhere in the night. Like if it's in the middle of the evening, you're having a conversation. Yeah. That's a good one in the background. In the middle of the conversation, like, ooh, I like that Edie Brickell song.
Yeah. And
nobody says that out loud, but they like that Edie Brickell song.
And it's not I don't know. I mean, not that any of the songs in here are offensive, but it's a non-offensive. It's, anyway. It's not aggressive.
None of ours are offensive. No.
So this is co-written by Edie Brickell, recorded by Edie Brickell and the New Bohemians for their debut album, Shooting Rubber Bands at the Stars. I have that album. I loved it. Came out in 88, peaked at number 7, ranked number 23 on VH1's list of the 100 greatest one-hit wonders of the 80s. Edie Brickell has been quoted as saying, "The lyrics came from my one elective in my first year in college, world religions. From the time I could first think, I wondered, what does the rest of the world think? I know what these Texas folk think, but what's going on in the rest of the world? So I took this world religions class, and I was immediately annoyed at the chatter going on in the classroom. To adopt behaviors, to adopt some sort of dogma, I felt defeated. The purpose of evolution, that song just blossomed from irritation."
Mm.
On the Choke Me in the Shallow Water lyric, she said, "That's the part that was irritating about the class. Everybody was getting so deep in terms of making things up. Does this mean this? And does this mean that? I was just irritated, like, just kill me now before I get out there and lose myself and my sense of who I am." Cashbox called it one of the catchiest anti-philosophical tongue-in-cheek ditties since Peggy Lee's Is that all there is? I don't know that reference. I didn't listen to it.
Nope.
Yeah. Anyway, Edie Brickell, a little trivia for you. Edie Brickell collaborated with which famous American comedian, actor, writer, producer, musician on a musical project?
No.
Was it A, Steve Martin, B, Kevin Bacon, C, Jeff Bridges, or D, Kris Kristofferson?
I'm going to go with the A.
Nice job, Steve Martin.
He was the only comedian in the group.
Yeah. In 2013, that's a good call. Damn it, Kip. In 2013, Edie Brickell teamed up with actor.
He's quickly waving that off. He says that's not his fault.
He's blaming it on the writers.
Yeah, that's right.
Edie Brickell teamed up with actor and musician Steve Martin to create the critically acclaimed album Love Has Come For You. It peaked at number one on the Billboard U.S. Top Bluegrass Albums chart.
You know, I learned something today. I forever, in my misheard lyrics exploration that I like to do. You said it's Choke Me in That Shallow Water.
Yeah.
I've been singing my whole life, Walking in That Shallow Water. Oh. That made more sense in my head.
Yeah.
But there's the lyric, right?
Choke Me in the Shallow Water.
All right.
Before I get too deep.
All right. Well, my number 10, this is just if you're 4 or 5 drinks deep, this is going to blow the roof off. You're going to make that O face. And really, I don't think you can have a 80s party playlist and not have this band included. So here we go.
There's a lot of ways this song could go. It depends on what party you're at.
I think it's good at any party.
What level of debauchery this party is going.
Yeah, it can add or expand debauchery.
Yeah.
Or people can just go, ooh, I really like that. Yeah. I haven't heard it in a while. I just like it. Yeah.
I can see even the straight-laced dads over there tapping his foot. He doesn't want to admit that he likes it.
Everyone admits they like this.
He's like, this song's inappropriate. It's about girls dancing.
Their vibe is just party. And I love it. I mean,
am I wrong in that he makes a Heidi Fleiss reference?
I don't remember the Heidi Fleiss reference, but my favorite part of that song, actually, which I didn't play on this sample, towards the end of it, Tommy says, "Hey, Vince, check her out." And he goes, "Where?" And he goes, "That whistle that goes."
Yeah.
And then they do that long.
Yeah. I remember the video that they're all on their motorcycles.
Apparently, I can't whistle at all. So that's right. Yeah. All right. What would an 80s playlist be without, arguably, to me, biggest party hair band of the 80s? This is Girls, Girls, Girls by Motley Crue. Fun song. Gets the party going. That's why it's on the list. We don't have to be too intelligent about this thing. This was the first single in 1987 off of the album of the same name. Song hit number 12 in the US Hot 100, number 26 in the UK, number 43 in Australia, which is too low. This song is super fun. I love the Australians, but you missed out on that one. There's no mystery to the topic of this song. It's dedicated to strippers, which Motley Crue were big fans of. They honor dancing ladies of Los Angeles, Fort Lauderdale, Vancouver, Atlanta, and Paris. The video was shot at the 7th Vale on the Sunset Strip in LA. The band was not functioning well for the video shoot, as they would go between the studio and the club, the strip club, on their motorcycles, as you say.
Yeah.
They would stop at a Mexican restaurant along the way for taquitos and shooters.
Oh, awesome.
The first cut of the video shows every girl topless and was sent to MTV on purpose and immediately rejected, as they assumed would happen. And then they sent an edited version that was able to be played on MTV. The crew were definitely known for their thought-provoking lyrics. Do we still have our song?
We do
our song. I have a sample from this classical piece that I'd like to weigh in on for you.
Let's see if Kip and the boys can cue it up.
Yeah, it's great.
All right. Oh, they're giving me the thumbs up. Yep. You ready?
I am.
Okay.
Trick or treat, sweet to eat on Halloween and New Year's Eve. Yankee girls, you just can't be beat, but you're the best when you're off your feet.
Wow. Wow. That is the hard-hitting lyrics.
That's kind of an exploration in the mind of Motley Crue.
Yeah.
So, it rhymed. Yeah. It included several holidays.
It rhymed. Yeah.
Several holidays were included within that.
Their third grade teacher would be proud.
Oh yeah.
They rhymed.
It's like a haiku. I don't know. It's not a haiku.
I don't think so.
Pretend so. Well, that, in my opinion, as you've said probably 10 times on this, one heck of a playlist to get you going on New Year's Eve. I think anytime, like a workout, could be a running playlist. Yeah. I think there's a lot to use in there.
Yeah. It's my favorite playlist we've done so far.
Wow. That's bold.
That's a bold.
We've had some good playlists.
A year-end show and best best list we've put together. I think it's so fitting. I think that just works.
Your prophecy of zero crossovers.
Hey.
We weren't even close to each other most of the time.
No.
So for once, not on. We definitely had some different thoughts.
Different styles, yeah.
Yeah. So, but it makes for an altogether good playlist,
I was hoping for that. When I was putting together mine, I was like, okay, I know your style enough to know you'll fill in the gaps where I might go Bob Seger, you would go with
Morris Day in the Time.
There right. You go. So
Jungle Love. Ooh wee, ooh wee, ooh.
Good song.
Oh, yep. We like it. So, well, real quick, got some good news. We received a new 5-star Apple review this week from user Jobu2345. Don't know their full name, but that was the username. So if you're listening, we're so glad that you like the show. We're honored that it's a go-to podcast because he said that in the review for you each week. Thanks for the positive feedback because that's why we do the show. Mm-hmm. If we're someone's go-to and they look forward to this every week, that's why we do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to think people every Tuesday are like, oh, the new one's out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It excites me.
What were you telling me? I have to admit something. I'm not a Spotify user. But what was it? They had some wrap up year and wrap up lists.
They did.
And people were sharing that we were on there on many people's wrap up lists. And to think that we were one of their top five.
I got multiples that we were their number one or number two.
So that's killer.
So I like that. That's pretty good. So
that's killer.
Well, if you like Totally 80s and 90s Recall, which we know you do, and you never want to miss an episode, take a second after this episode to hit the subscribe button if you haven't done so already. And if you want to be really cool, share it with a friend you know is into the 80s and 90s just as much as you. Or hey, use the Rob and Dave experience as a way to introduce them to all the things from these great decades that we love to talk about. If you'd like to contact Rob and I, which we always look forward to, you can find us on all social media sites from Facebook to X, formerly known as Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. We provided links in the show notes. You can also search Totally 80s, 90s Recall online. We'll pop up. You'll find us pretty much everywhere. You can also find us at our website, Totally 80s, 90s Recall at podbean.com. We're on YouTube at 80s, 90s Recall. And finally, feel free to email us at 80s, 90s Recall at gmail.com. At any of those stops along the way, you can ask us questions about current or previous episodes, suggest future show ideas, or simply just say hello. We love to just hear hello. And we look forward to all of it and talking with every one of our listeners into 2024.
Awesome. Before we move on to the next part.
Yes.
I wanted to, as we close out the year, I found three quotes that I thought were fitting to the work we've done.
Ooh.
So this is a quote by David Bowie, the artist David Bowie. He said, "I don't know where I'm going from here, but I promise it won't be boring." And I like that. I think that's fitting for our work. I think I don't know where we're going in this next year with the Totally 80s and 90s Recall podcast, but I know it won't be boring. Frank Sinatra said, "The best is yet to come." And my favorite quote on here says, "Time you enjoy wasting was not wasted." And that was John Lennon. And so I just think one might view the work we do as we're wasting time. But I do not feel it was wasted time. So
I don't either. Anyway,
but yeah, so that's my closing thoughts there. Yeah.
Brought down the room. They're like clapping in the studio over there. That's great. In the booth.
Kip's got a tear in his eye.
Yeah, he was mad earlier, but now.
He's good now.
So we'll see if now that he's heard all the songs afterwards, he gives us more of a thumbs up.
Yeah.
Because again, he scowled at a couple of my choices. I don't think he's heard them all.
He'll come around. He always does.
Yeah. So, well, the ball has dropped. Cocktails have been consumed and you've kissed somebody, I hope. So let's head to White Castle, Taco Bell, or heck, maybe the Waffle House for some late night snacks, as that signals the end of our party on this final episode of 2023. We hope you've enjoyed building the ultimate 80s New Year's Eve party playlist with Rob and I. If you like today's musical choices, as always, we provided links to Spotify, Apple, and Amazon, so you can listen to these songs in full. They're in the show notes. I highly recommend to go download this and listen to it as soon as you can. Throw it on at your upcoming New Year's party if you have one. You'll be the toast of the town. We'll say that. Finally, we'd like to thank all our listeners, whether first timers or subscribers, for hanging out with Rob and I this first year. Hopefully we gave you an hour or so each week and more of some laughs. And don't forget to tune in for all new episodes of Totally 80s and 90s Recall every Tuesday as we move into 2024.
Every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday.
What is our homework for next time?
Homework. We're getting an easy show. It's our first show of 2024 and it will be a recap / look back at our favorite moments of the first year of our little bitty podcast.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yep.
Kip and the boys have some work to do.
Yeah, we're going to put together some highlights from other shows that we've done for the year. Mm-hmm. We may have some un past unreleased footage that could make an appearance. And we're going down memory lane from our first episode till now. Maybe they sound the same. Maybe they sound different. We'll find out.
I'm gonna say they sound different.
They sound a little different. Yeah. So, all right. Well, we started 2023 with, you got any fancy goodbyes?
I don't have any fancy goodbyes.
Well, then that's it.
All right. Peace out.
The little delay in the music there. Yeah. That's right. We almost made the whole episode for the last episode. We've done it 53 times now.
Damn it.
Yep. Still got a little delay. Can't fire him at all.
He started his parting too early.
Yeah.